Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 125, John Wick. So, for today's episode, I thought I'd cover a movie that really wasn't nominated for anything at the Oscars. I actually kind of had it planned before just because it was a movie I'd seen and I haven't reviewed yet. And on that note, I'll talk about a little bit about Fifty Shades of Grey a little bit later, but it's a side story and not... It's minutely related to this episode, so I'll talk about that a little bit later. So with that, I will jump right into this particular episode. So John Wick released in the United States on October 24th, 2015, with the tagline, "Don't set him off." A brief summary of the movie is that an ex-hitman comes out of retirement to track down the gangsters that took everything from him. I'll have a link to the IMDb profile and Wikipedia pages as well. The movie did get, is generally very favorably reviewed at 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's about the last time I checked a few days ago, so I'm sure it stayed staying right around there. Overall, I thought the movie was actually done pretty well. It is one of those movies that actually reminded me a lot of a reimagining, I guess, of sorts of the Max Payne timeline of movies, so I'll get into that a little bit as well, especially when it comes into or how it relates to another movie, sort of, in my mind at least. So I will, or with that, I'll jump into this week's insight. Not too many to go off of, especially since I rather enjoy the movie, but to start it off, Theon being arrogant never ends well. So we have the generic, or actually the one of the probably only downsides of the movie was that we went with the generic Russian gangster bad guys. So if you watch this in succession with The Equalizer with Denzel Washington, then you might have found it more or less the same, in that you have a individual struggling with personal loss and they're then getting back into the game, so to speak. But that's neither here nor there. But we have the Russian bad guy, in this case, the son of the bad guy, played by the same guy who plays Theon Greyjoy in Game of Thrones. And it seems like his character, or he plays that kind of character that never seems to be able to catch a break in being a bad guy, or at least doing bad things. Or I suppose in his mind, doing good things or serving his own ends. But it comes down to playing an arrogant character, which I think he actually does very well. So it is actually worth... it's actually an enjoyable part of the movie. I mean, he is generally arrogant, but not to the point of, he's a generic guy, I guess, or generic character, but he plays it in that way, or at least I like his portrayal of it, to the point where, it seems like he's genuinely afraid, or at least he has a facial expression. He makes it perceived that way, that he's generally afraid, but also wants to be strong enough to prove that he thinks he can defeat the protagonist of the movie. Next up, I was watching the movie and browsing around through IMDb, and I noticed this about the same time that I noticed the trivia, but wearing a red shirt never ends well. So we have a couple of characters wearing the red shirt who actually get killed off, and apparently in the trivia there's something along the lines of this being an homage to Star Trek, so I actually found it kind of funny. And it made this a little bit more enjoyable, but we do have John Wick going nuts with pretty much all the characters and winning in pretty much all but one of the scenes, or actually I think only two scenes where he does get external assistance, and from there he's able to handle himself. But it was an interesting bit of trivia that they threw in for this movie. But to round it out, how hard would it be to use gold-covered chocolate? So we have the John Wick using coins as currency. I think this is how they know that this is, or they use the tokens they've earned as far as paying for specific, or paying for room and board and food, I guess, in specific locations. And I got to thinking that, or I was just hungry, but it kind of looked like gold covered chocolate, or how hard it would be to use that as some sort of bribing mechanism. So I just thought it kind of weird that that's the kind of, or that's the route they would go rather than the traditional poker chip or something that looks more generic than, or something that doesn't actually remind me of anything else. So, to round it out, John Wick actually reminds me a lot, or reminds me of what could be Max Payne 4, The Return. So, we have, in this particular movie, we don't have too much use of bullet time or Matrix, I forget what it's called in The Matrix, but slowing down time to show off the effects. It's actually pretty rapid, successive movement, and not to the point where it's so fast you can't see it, but it is fluid and in motion all the time, so it's actually well worth seeing. But to me, this is the second movie in recent, or not recent, but that I've seen that I can remember that actually was a, or could be a better Max Payne movie than the Max Payne movie we got a couple years ago with Mark Wahlberg. I'm not saying at all that he's a bad actor. That's besides the point. I think he did a good job in the movie itself, but I don't know. The story seemed kind of thin. Maybe that, or I'm just not much for video game to movie adaptations. But I found that this could be actually a pretty good Max Payne movie as far as the storyline goes. They didn't reveal too much of his past. They provided enough of a storyline of why he wanted vengeance. The only two things really missing are, first, as I mentioned, the bullet time. But second of all, just another, I don't want to say a conspiracy, but something that is revealed to be a more deepened storyline like we see in Max Payne as far as the drug of Valkyrie, I believe. So if they had done something along those lines in this movie where it was not just a generic drug trade, that probably, maybe, I guess then that maybe on the flip side would have turned me off at something more, maybe a political thriller or a chop shop conspiracy or something like that, to the point where it's more or a bigger picture than what we are initially led to believe. Basically something along the lines of Max Payne 1 or 2. I only say 1 or 2 because I haven't played the third one, so I don't really have a reference there. And then of course the other movie that reminds me of Max Payne is the Mel Gibson movie Payback. I actually like the blue tint that they had, blue or blue-black tint that they had for much of the movie, so that's actually the other flip side where I, maybe even something along the lines here where they added that kind of tint. They didn't really do much, but they did. It was a very dark and gloomy movie, so a lot of the blacks and grays and shadowy effects, so I actually liked that part of it, so that's probably why I didn't really think about that too much. But just having that extra layer would have improved an already pretty good movie for me. So I give the movie a real score of 100%. I'll put an asterisk next to it because the only positive I could come up with was that it gave me the Payback Max Payne vibe, as I already mentioned, so it was a very good film on that side of things. The only negatives I could really think of was that there were no dual pistol scenes. That would have actually made it, or I don't want to say humorous, but that would have added a little bit of lightheartedness to it. They did a lot of other things. They had a whole plethora of guns, a few different cars, a lot of martial arts going on. So it was a bunch of different elements from the Max Payne video games. That's actually the one scene that I liked in Payback where they did have the dual pistol scene. So these are two movies I'm finding were better transitioned as a Max Payne video game without the name, so, or even without the character for that matter. But it was a good, to me, I find a good comparison between these two movies and the game. And it would have been interesting if they had put the bullet time in a couple of different places, not, you know, in every other fight scene, but maybe in the main scene where we first hear him, or where he says, "Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back," or in the club scene where he's fighting through all the different henchmen. That would have been maybe even in just those two scenes, if we had the bullet time, it would have worked out pretty well. It would not have been out of place, and it would have improved the movie that much more. So That's really the only thing that I could really come up with. So that's why the asterisk is there. The movie was not bad at all. It was actually very enjoyable to watch. It went by really fast. And we had enough of the right emotions from Keanu Reeves as far as the pain he felt and his revenge for losing his, or basically for losing his dog in his car, but because of the enhanced pain of losing his wife. So definitely a worth or a movie worth checking out, and that's right up my alley as far as action thrillers go. And not too much sci-fi, but it is worth checking out if you are a fan of Keanu Reeves or just want an action thriller or want a kind of sequel to Payback. And I mean, granted, a lot of it's different, but a lot of the similar elements, and just a movie to watch and worth checking out. So that's really all there is for that. And so I wanted to round out. I know last week I mentioned that I would review 50 Shades of Grey if I had a chance to watch it. I did try to go see it with a friend, and I say try because about halfway through I fell asleep in the movie, so that was pretty much shot there. The last thing I really remember in the movie was the laptop repair guy coming in, and whatever scene that was with the laptop being broken and the guy fixing it. So I pretty much ended for me there. I'm not gonna go see it again unless it's on Amazon Instant Video or Prime Instant Video streaming, and I can watch it there for free, but not gonna go check it out again. The only thing I could really make note of as far as what I do remember seeing is I just found it odd that Beasts of Burden was playing after the first night they slept together, or the main character slept together, and that's, I just thought Beasts of Burden was an odd choice of songs. I figured there would be a good number of any other song that could have been used. Nothing specific came to mind, but that's about all there. So probably not a review there unless I have a chance to see it, or someone pays for my ticket, or it's on Prime, as I said. But I fell asleep, so no review there. But that's really all there is for this episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, or if you guys send over your own insights for 50 Shades of Grey for me to do an episode, a listener episode of that, then I'd be happy to do that. But you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01, where you can get all of my latest updates and interact with me there as well. If you want to check out the Real Insights Year 1 and 2 ebooks, visit author.patelN01.com. If you want to help support the show and the network grow and succeed, you can visit us or find us on Patreon at patreon.com/geekio. As always, as I'm doing now, the sponsors for the network are in the show notes. So if you're looking for headphones that are noise reducing, check out our friends over at Tweaked Audio. If you want to browse the web safely and securely, be sure to visit our friends at ProXPN, as well as a few other of our friends of the show. So that is really all for, or actually before I round it out, if you want to check out this show or any show on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.